There are many things that we need in life. Science tells us that as infants, we need physical human touch to grow healthy. I've been told that if you're ever in a situation where you end up in the wilderness on your own, that you need to do three things. You need to make or find some shelter. You need to find a way to get water, and you need to start a fire. You need to do those things to protect yourself. There is then a query that's always on my mind, and I've wondered from time to time how long you can survive without food, without water, and without air. And then I'm reminded that there is one more thing that I know that we cannot live without. So it turns out that you can live 40 to 70 days without food, according to a registered nurse, Angela Morrow, who was writing for verywellhealth.com. And also very similar numbers in a German article in the journal Archic for Criminology. And in case you wonder, that's Archives of Criminology. Thank you, Google Translate. By Pia Kottisch and others. The same German article says that you can survive 8 to 21 days without water, depending on your health and your circumstances. And according to an article for training from the University of Michigan site, transweb.org, you can live 5 to 10 minutes without oxygen, though major brain functions will be detrimentally affected at about 3 minutes. So there's a rule of thumb that kind of says that you can live for 3 minutes without oxygen, 3 days without water, and 3 days without food, and that's probably if you're in pretty normal health, not real good health. The things that we need to live, we generally take for granted here in the United States. You know, we can have food and water without a lot of concern, and our air is generally fairly good to breathe, and even if you need help, most of the time you can get oxygen to supplant your breathing. Now, while all of this is true, there is one more thing that we cannot live without. Now, and that's what we're going to look as we look at Jesus' response to the crowd. This is the crowd and then faithful Jewish leaders in response to Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. A few weeks ago, we looked at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 from the book of John. And last week, we talked about him walking on the water. And it was night, late in the evening, he sent his disciples on. He stayed on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And in the morning, the crowd that had been there, or some of the crowd that had been there for the feeding of the 5,000, began to realize that they saw the disciples leave, but they never saw Jesus leave. So they start looking for Jesus. And when they can't find him, it just happens that some other fishing boats or other boats of some kind have landed and beached near where they are. So they get in these boats and they head to the western side of the Sea of Galilee. When they find Jesus, they want him to continue to provide food for them. But Jesus won't do what they want him to do. And that leads us to John chapter 6, beginning with the 41st verse. Actually, we probably should have started at verse 25, but for sake of time, we're starting at verse 41. And this is what John records of this interaction between Jesus and the crowds, and then Jesus and the Jewish leaders. It says, therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This bread is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of this world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. As I was reading this and thinking about this and thinking about the fact that here is Jesus making this grand statement, he says, I am the bread of life. And several times John makes the statement that Jesus is the true food. And it's not that what they wanted, what the crowd wanted, wasn't real food. They wanted physical food. They wanted Jesus to do for them what he had already done. You know, he fed the 5,000. He took the bread and he took the fish, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he fed 5,000 men, probably closer to 20,000 people by the time you had women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, enough for a couple of little fish sandwiches goes throughout the whole crowd. And they wanted more of that. And they come to the part of the argument and they begin to think, or they begin to say, you know, we remember the story. We remember the story from our history when the people were wandering in the desert and God gave them manna to eat. Jesus, if you are really a prophet, if you are really a man of God, surely you can provide for us the food that we need. You can give us more food. After all, Moses was a great prophet. He provided manna for 40 years. The problem is, as Jesus says, physical food doesn't last. Physical food doesn't last. It has the tendency to spoil. And we may not see that as much as we would have in the past, but food spoils. In fact, if you look at the story from the book of Exodus and Numbers, you find that the manna spoiled overnight. You went out in the morning and you collected the manna that you needed for the day, and if you tried to keep it overnight, it spoiled or it got worms. It didn't last. If you have fish, which they were accustomed to, if you have fish, it spoils within a few hours if you don't do something to preserve it. And in Jesus' day, they preserved a lot of their fish by salting it and drying it so that it would be preserved. Bread, if you have a loaf of bread, it will last for a week or maybe a couple of weeks. Not the stuff that you go and you buy at the grocery store. They put so many preservatives in that stuff. Trust me, I've had a loaf of bread of some kind for over a year. And it was a little hard, but it was still good. You could eat it. But food, what? I just white bread from the grocery store. Buns, hamburger buns. Yeah, you know, the funny thing is you buy two of them at the same time and one of them gets moldy in a few days and the other one will last forever. I kid you not. Probably 9 months I had food in my dorm room that I never ate. Brenda's back there shaking her head. The girls were only allowed in the guys' dorms like 3 times a year. One of them was the last day when you were cleaning everything out, so she saw what I carried in my dorm room. But the fact is, food spoils. Food spoils. But Jesus says that he is the true bread. And he's not talking about something physical here. In fact, if you knew the account of the story of the Exodus, and I'm sure that the Jews were very familiar with this, we may not be quite so familiar, but in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, Jesus uses this passage or this thought to chastise the leaders. And God was chastising the people through Moses. He says, "He, that is God, humbled you and let you be hungry. And then he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord," or the mouth of Yahweh, your God. Jesus is saying here, he's taking the people in their minds, especially the Jewish leaders that would have been in the synagogue, he is taking them and he's saying, okay, you guys want manna? You remember the story of the manna? The manna spoiled, but you know what God said? He let you be hungry and then he fed you so that you would learn a lesson. And that is that you trust in God and you trust in the provision of God, especially the Word of God. Living by the Word of God is what brings true life. And you remember what John says at the beginning of the book of John? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was, I think I heard somebody say, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, and he took on flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is saying the same thing that John says when he writes the gospel. He's saying to the people, I am the Word of God, come down from heaven. And he's making them think. He's making them try to understand spiritual truth, just the way he does with Nicodemus. You know, we told Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus is confused. And the fact is, when the people hear this, they are just as confused as Nicodemus was. Because first we have the conversation about physical food. The second thing that we have is the misunderstanding. The misunderstanding that comes because Jesus says that he is the true food. It goes back to the manna. And Jesus points this out. It goes back to the manna. And that is this. The people said Moses provided manna. Really? Moses did that? Moses didn't provide the manna. Moses was simply the conduit through which God spoke the words about the manna that he was going to provide. And Jesus makes that very clear. He says, you think Moses provided the manna, but God provided the food that came from heaven. God. You go back to that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8. God says through Moses that he is the one who provided the manna. He is the one who day in and day out, night after night, 6 days of the week. Remember, the people had to rest on the Sabbath, so they couldn't go out and collect manna. 6 days a week, God provided manna. And 6 days a week, the people went out to collect that. And in the Jewish mind, in the Jewish thought, that represented the best of times. That represented in some instance for them the best of times. Of course, if you remember the story of the Exodus, it was also the worst of times. Because the reason they had to have manna was because they kept grumbling to God. And the reason they had to eat it for 40 years was because they wouldn't be obedient. You know, the people of Israel were looking back on this as if it was the golden days of their history. And Jesus is making a point that wasn't even tarnished bronze. Yeah, those were pretty dark days in the history of Israel if you study the account. But the problem is, or the thing was the Jews of Jesus' day believed Moses had promised that there would come a prophet who was greater than him. And so the people believed that when the Messiah came, he would provide for them food in greater measure than the manna that Moses provided, well, God provided through Moses in the wilderness. And so they believed that if the Messiah came at that point in time, he would provide them the food that they needed so they would have the strength to overcome and overpower the Roman army and throw out the Romans who were occupying their land, and they would have peace in the land of promise. That's why Jesus would look at them and say, you guys have a problem here, and that is the fact that you're simply looking for someone to fill your bellies. You're looking for somebody who will provide food to keep you happy and satisfied. Not at the meaning of the miracle itself. And so Jesus keeps on in this conversation, this misunderstanding conversation with them. And then he says to them, okay, you want me to provide you food? I'm the bread. I am the bread. And if you really want the food that you're being offered, you need to eat my flesh. And they, like probably we would, you know, we have the opportunity to read the whole story before we jump to some really interesting conclusions. And we have the foresight of looking at it multiple times. They are seeing this in the moment. But they believed that Jesus was offering himself as food. Like, kill me, cut up my meat, and eat me. The fact was, if you look through the history of Israel, there were, you know, some pretty strict laws that would forbid cannibalism. And in fact, if they knew their history, they would understand that cannibalism was a sign of how bad Israel had fallen. And so they would have certainly found the idea repugnant. They would have wanted nothing to do with the fact that Jesus was saying, "Here's my flesh." And then again, as he says to them that his blood is to be drunk, they had laws against eating meat with the blood still in it. In other words, very recently killed and very undercooked meat. And the blood of the animals, if they took it, was to be poured out onto the ground. Or if it was a sacrificial animal, its blood was to be poured out on the horns or around the base of the altar. And so there was no room for drinking the blood. And the people here, the religious leaders especially, hear what Jesus is saying, and they have this misunderstanding that Jesus is speaking about cannibalism. And they just don't get it. I'm not sure without the context that we have in reading forward and reading backwards and reading again, that we might not misunderstand as well. So Jesus takes them from the misunderstanding and he brings them to the point about real eating and drinking. And if we read and we understand what Jesus is saying, he's not talking about the physical eating, he's talking about accepting who he is. Accepting who he is. And so at one point in this conversation, he throws in a title that he uses only once in the book of John. And that is the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man. And without historical context, without understanding the Old Testament scriptures, we could easily look at that and just say that, okay, he was just claiming to be a human being. And there is evidence that that might have been a way of speaking in the Aramaic, that you might refer to yourself as a son of man, just saying simply, "I'm a human being." But Jesus, in context, is speaking about the Son of Man and referring to himself as the Son of Man, or one like the Son of Man, that comes to the throne of God in the book of Daniel. And the one like the Son of Man who comes to the throne of God sits on the throne of God, and then he judges. And that is saying that he is God. He is God. And so Jesus is saying that you have to be willing to accept the concept and the idea that Jesus is God. And then he uses another concept, and he uses another phrase, and he talks about himself as the Word, the bread that comes down from heaven, the Word of God from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Jesus is making the same correlation that John makes throughout the Gospel of John, specifically John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is making this statement that he is the Word of God. And if you want to live according to Deuteronomy chapter 8, you live by the Word of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is also the Messiah. Remember, I said that the people were expecting that the Messiah would provide food like Moses, only in greater measure. That instead of simply manna coming down from heaven every day, that he would provide this great bread and great meat and great, it would almost be like having a banquet every day. Okay, just so you understand in context, they believed that Jesus would provide meals like we eat every day. You and I, if a Jew from Jesus' day were to drop into our culture and come and eat with us, they would think that every meal we had was a great feast. Because to them, it would have been. The variety, the choices, the amount of food that we would sit and consume would have overwhelmed them. And they believed that the Messiah was going to come and provide that kind of meals on a regular basis. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven. And he's saying to them, my food, my flesh, my body that is given for you. He's talking about the fact that we have to believe who he is, but we also have to accept what he offers. We have to accept that Jesus is God in the flesh, dwelling amongst us. That we have to believe. But we also have to accept what he offers. And Jesus is saying this same thing to those who were listening. And he's saying that we have to be willing to accept the sacrifice that he offers on the cross. We have to believe that Jesus is God, but we also have to believe that he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. That as Paul will say, that while we were yet sinners, or no, that's John, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul says that while we were still enemies with God, Jesus died to bring reconciliation for us. We have to believe that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is enough. And it also means that we have to believe that Jesus is the one and the only way to God. We can't get to God by accomplishing great things. Even if we do great things for God, that will not be enough. We can only come to God through Jesus Christ. We can't come to God by offering the right sacrifices. You know, the people ask, okay, Jesus, what do we have to do? And Jesus says, believe. Believe that I am God and I am the one that God sent and that I am doing these things for you. And he's saying this to a group of people who believed, who knew that the way that God had told them in the past to come to him was through sacrifice. You bring the right sacrifices at the right time and you come to God. And Jesus says, no, I am the sacrifice. You come to God through me. And it is only by accepting Jesus and obediently following his commands that we can come to God. And so Jesus can say, I am the bread of life. And only by eating me can you have life. We look at life and we believe that we need things to live. We need food. We need water. We need oxygen. And Jesus isn't saying that those aren't necessary for life. He's saying that those bring you life, but they don't bring you real life. Those are not the things that bring true life. What gives life, according to Jesus, is accepting who he is, what he came to do, and thus accepting the salvation that he offers. And once we have obediently believed, then what we need to do is to hunger for his word and to do his work as much, or to work for him as much as we would work for food. As much as we would work for water, and as much as we would work for air. The psalmist says, as a deer pants for water, my soul longs for you. How much do you long for God? Because the life that he provides is not life here in the physical body. Oh, it is, but it is also the life that goes beyond this life. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Because Jesus says that we must accept and we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Are you prepared? Let's stand together and continue to worship.